Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. It's good to see a church that looks forward to seeing one another and is talking away and enjoying fellowship, catching up, and all those things. Ultimately here for the next couple hours to worship together, both here and in class together. Praise the Lord for the brotherhood and sisterhood of the saints. Let me direct our attention to a great moment in David's life here. 1 Samuel chapter 17, the famous story of David and Goliath. And I want to read to you verse 37 from that chapter. David's talking to Saul and says, "And David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and may the Lord be with you.'" The Lord is a deliverer, and we can think back in our own lives about salvation itself, the greatest deliverance of all, but in what other ways has he delivered you from circumstances that would do you great harm, physical or spiritual? Let's take a moment now and thank the Lord for his past, present, and future deliverance in our life. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you so much for bringing us together. Thank you so much for the things that we know about, the great moments of deliverance, the things we can testify about of your greatness, of who you are. But there's also a lot of unknown that we'll only know on the other side in heaven, and we'll discover how much you delivered us in many ways as we've prayed to you and as we've watched you work, Lord. But most of all, Jesus Christ, our great deliverer, the one who saves and rescues his people from their sins. Thank you so much for his deliverance. We are here to worship you and to celebrate that this morning. Thank you for IBC, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's stand and let's sing the song, "Christ is Risen." Dead, buried, but risen. Praise God.
Our
thank you so much for your great love, and we thank you for the victory in Jesus Christ. Help us in spirit and in truth to praise you this morning. Amen. Let's turn our attention to the screen, and we're going to read through Psalm 3 together this morning. I'll start. I'm going to ask you to respond, again, looking at God and his greatness in deliverance. So the psalm starts by saying, Lord, how they have increased who troubled me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon you.
Perfect love, but I Amen. Thank you for that. Two of my most favorite instruments played together. I love that. We are glad that you are well, or that you are with us here this morning. We welcome you. We encourage you to stop by the connection corner in the back. There's information about our church there, about the different ministries and what we have to offer, and just would love to get to know you. Again, if you're with us here for the first time, be sure to stop back there. If nothing else, we have a little gift for you. All right, so please make sure to do that. But we're glad that you're here. There's also information back there about our Sunday school classes that we offer. So even if you're not here with us for the first time, but you'd like to attend one of our Sunday school classes following this hour together, we encourage you to stop back there. If you're not sure where to go, they'd love to direct you to a Sunday school class. By way of announcements, I only have one real main announcement, and it's not a new one. It's one that you already know. But this Wednesday, we are doing Trunk or Treat here at the church, and we are excited about the opportunity once again to make an impact on our community. And so if you have an interest in helping out, we have several people that have helped out, but if you haven't let Pastor Mike know that you'd like to help out, please make sure you let him know as soon as possible so he can plug you in where you can be involved. We do have candy that has come in, but if you still have candy you'd like to give us, there is still a donation box in the back, I believe, and you can do that. And then if nothing else, we do covet your prayers. So please spend some time in prayer this week, and especially that evening, just praying for the ministry that we might be able to have to those that are going to come through. There is a whole lot of people, my understanding, that come through here, and a lot of candy is given out. But most importantly, we want to impact them for eternity, and more so than anything. For the other announcements and information, just look in your bulletin, and it should be there.
Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. I pray that as we focus our attention upon you, that you would allow us to set aside the things that would distract us, the things that have been up on our minds throughout the week. I pray, Father, that during this hour we could focus our attention upon you and truly worship you, the one who's worthy of that worship, the one who's worthy of our praise and our glory. Father, we thank you for our church, and thank you for the business meeting that we had this past week, for the way you have met our needs, for the way you continue to lead us and to guide us. I pray, Father, that we'd always be in the place of your blessing, that we would be focused upon you, that we'd be submitted to you, that we'd be yielded to your Spirit in our lives so that you can use us, so that you can shape us and conform us to the image of Christ. And Father, you have indeed warned us in your word that dangerous times would come. And we look around our world and we certainly believe that it is a dangerous world. And there are many who in this time would say that the word of God is irrelevant. It's not important anymore. It's not significant. It may have been good for 2,000 years ago, but certainly not for today. And yet, your word is very clear that it is in those dangerous times that it is most relevant, that it is good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so as we come together this morning, we turn to your word, for it is what we need for this day. And I pray, Father, that we'd be faithful in sharing that faith. And as we think of our outreach on Wednesday night, I pray, Father, that we'd be bold in our witness and in our testimony as we reach out to our community. Certainly, Father, it's a setting in which we don't have a lot of opportunity to talk, and yet we are able to hand out, along with the candy, some literature about the church and just the gospel of salvation. I pray, Father, that there'd be many who'd be touched by that, and that you'd give us opportunity to impact their lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we do thank you, as we have sung this morning, of the victory that we have in Christ. There is no longer sting in death, for Christ has been victorious over death. Father, we pray for the families of Claire Sidney and Eula Gillette, as Claire and Eula have finished their earthly journey, are now in your presence, though they are absent from us. I pray for comfort for the families. I pray, Father, that you would be glorified in their funeral services. And I pray, Father, that indeed we would continue to focus upon you and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the salvation that is through him. And even as we've read from Psalm 3 this morning, salvation belongs to our God. And that is not only spiritual salvation, but even deliverance during our lives as you have been faithful to us time and time again. And so we thank you, Father, for the opportunity this morning to praise you and to focus upon the truths of your word. May we apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow of sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all hope safe in his sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never
Tammy. In the last week, we've lost two of our longtime members, Claire Sidney and Eula Gillette. Claire's funeral is tomorrow at 2 o'clock down at the Bowen Funeral Home, and then Eula's funeral will be here at the church on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. But pray for the families during this time of grief and loss for them. A week ago, we had our annual giveaway. Sue Wheeler heads that up for us, so she's going to come at this time and just share with us some of her thoughts. There she is. I was looking all over for you. How could I miss you?
Good morning. It's just not me that heads this up. It's Rachel Hauser, too, and she never will come up front with me, but I couldn't do it without her. On hot summer days, Tammy Smiley and Rachel Hauser were upstairs sorting out and sizing a mountain of clothes, which made this giveaway much easier to begin. I call my mom's place the Bates Hotel because it used to be a really nice motel, but we call it the Bates Motel now. Last Sunday, the church looked as it does today, but Sunday night, people stayed after service and cleared it out to make way for the tables. Monday morning at 8 a.m., started out slow, but faithful workers showed up and stood on the steps for hours till everything was out and on trucks and in trailers. Once unloaded, the guys went to gather many needed tables, volunteers already at church organizing tables and emptying trucks as they arrived. Monday appeared that we didn't have as much as we did as usual, but Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday brought donations through the day by the truckload until 8 p.m. at night. We posted a sign saying, "Sorry, no more donations," but they still came. The church was overflowing, as well as the porch, the lawn, and the pavilion. A volunteer for years, Annetta Soper, died this spring. She brought her sisters and Lydia for years, and in the past few years, her brother, wife, and their sisters came, as they did this year, and worked every day. It's always great to have guys there for the heavy work. Joe's and my friends come from Florida and have done it the week of the giveaway for a few years, and they work the whole week also. So many that came to help are not church members, but willingly come and help us, and we appreciate all of them. Our church always comes and do everything needed to make everything come together, and we're so grateful for all of you who participated. As always, Beverly Douglas fed the employees all week. Moms brought children who found the hallway a perfect place to play while Evelyn and Jessica helped us. Tammy Smiley, who has helped us for years, came up with an amazing idea to add prayer to anyone coming. We posted a sign in the foyer at the door saying, "How can we pray for you?" And Wilma and Karen were at the entrance to do that. Pastor Mike and Pastor Eddie went outside and prayed while people were waiting to come in. We thank Tammy for that idea and pray all those who came saw that we do this because of Christ and his love. Don wrote a letter that was given out along with a tract to each family who came. Volunteers were always here for many hours a day, never complaining and always willing to make it a pleasant and welcoming to those who came. I heard one say that I look forward to this every year. Needs were met and many seemed grateful. On Thursdays, we allow agencies to come in before the rush on Fridays to shop. Sorry. All right, I might have to ad-lib here. No, here it is. I noticed a woman shopping who seemed not to be one of their clients, and I went up and asked her if she was with the agencies to shop early. She goes, "No, honey, I'm a volunteer. What can I help you with?" I told Pastor Eddie about it, and he said he would have played that up and asked her where the bathrooms were or where the pastor was. Wished I'd have been that quick on my feet to have done that. One mission who rescues and spays cats, I'm sure there's a you who don't love cats, but he came and got 140 pairs of sneakers, which they send to Miami for an organization there that then sends the sneakers to third world countries. He gets $50 to $3 a pair, and they're shipped to the kids across the sea. We know that you feel people who come here are not in need and may be the case, but our main purpose in doing this is to show God's love to those who come. We feel that is conveyed to each one who does come. Baby clothes and children's clothes were down this year, along with winter coats for all. Bed linens and linens are always a need. We truly appreciate your donations and all the work that everyone did to honor Christ and fill the needs of those who came. And by the way, we had 1,150 people come this year. Thank you very much.
We never know the full effects of things like Trunk or Treat, Giveaway, Family Fun Day. We don't need to know. One day in heaven, we will know and learn, I think, about it for eternity, what God has done. But scattering seed is our privilege, our responsibility, our joy, knowing that God, in his great wisdom and sovereignty, gives the increase. So we thank God for whatever increase that looks like, and thank everyone, Sue, Rachel, and everyone else that helped. So praise him. Let's stand and sing. We'll sing the last hymn here this morning. My hope is in the Lord. Indeed it is. Praise him.
Turn together to 1 Samuel chapter 23. We've been in this series on the but gods of Scripture for about 5 months or so, maybe a little longer. Probably just another week or two left, a month at the most, that we'll be looking at these but God truths. To be honest with you, when I first started, I didn't expect it to last this long. But the more I dug into it, the more passages I found in which there is a but God. And of course, the word but denotes a contrast. And when we have but God, it's always in contrast to man. To man's sin, to man's thinking, to man's will, to man's limitations, to man's actions. There's a but God, a contrast. And it's because of these but gods, because of this contrast between God and man, that we have hope and that we have help from him. Because apart from that contrast, we would be hopeless and helpless, left to ourselves. So we have man on one side and his sin and his actions and his limitations, his wrong thinking, but God. And that but God gives us hope and gives us help. And certainly this morning, as we come to 1 Samuel chapter 23, we have another but God. in contrast to what man wanted. We have but God. And it's in verse 14. And David took abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. Saul wanted to kill David, but God. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we're so grateful this morning for that contrast between you and man. Man is sinful, you are holy. Man is limited, you are omnipotent. And I pray, Father, that as we continue to study this morning from your word, that we might be encouraged and strengthened by the truth, but God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We need to look at the setting of 1 Timothy chapter 3. We read in verse 1, and they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. So we read in verse 1 of chapter 23 that the Philistines had gone to battle against this city of Keilah. Keilah was a city in the southern part of Judah. And it was apparently a fairly sizable city, because in verse 7 it talks about the gates and the bars of the city. But the Philistines had attacked the city and were stealing from them. And David hears about it. And so we read in verse 2 that David inquires of the Lord, should I go down and help this city of Keilah out against the Philistines? Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Now understand, David is not the king at this time. Saul is still the king. In fact, Saul wants to kill David. Now David has about 600 men with him, and he's really running from Saul, but he loves the people of Israel. He loves the people of Keilah. And the Philistines are coming against Keilah, and so he says, God, do you want me to go down and fight these Philistines? And God said, go. You will smite them. You'll have a victory. Now, David's men were not all that happy about this situation. You need to understand that though the Philistines were fighting against Keilah, if David and his men inject themselves into that battle, now they are going to be fighting another enemy. Saul and his army are already seeking David to kill him. So David and his men already have to deal with Saul and his army. Now they go down to Keilah to fight the Philistines. Now they're going to have two enemies. The Philistines and their army, Saul and his army. Not only that, but if they go down and they fight against the Philistines and Keilah, Saul is going to find out about it, and they're going to find out where David and his men are. They've been hiding out. If they go fight the Philistines, they're not going to be able to keep that a secret. So now they're going to have two enemies, Philistines and their army, Saul and his army, and Saul will find out where they are. David's men are not too happy about this situation. So he inquires of the Lord, and God tells him to go. David's men aren't too happy about it, and so David, he double checks with God. He says he inquired again of the Lord. And again, God says, go. And so, David obeys the Lord. It says in verse 4, David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. And so David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. So David was obedient to God. God gives him a great victory. But indeed, what David's men feared happened. Saul found out that David was in Keilah. So now they've got to deal with Saul. Verse 6, and it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said unto God, and said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that has gates and bars. And so Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. So he finds out David's in Keilah. He gets his army together. He's ready to go to Keilah to kill David. David inquires of the Lord once again. He asked God two questions. Will Saul come down to kill me? And will the people, the inhabitants of Keilah, deliver me into his hand? And God's answer to both questions was yes. Saul is coming down to kill you. And yes, the inhabitants of Keilah will turn against you and will deliver you into his hand. How do you like that for thanks? David just delivered Keilah from the hands of the Philistines. Now Saul's coming down to kill David, and the inhabitants of Keilah are going to turn against David. And they're going to turn him over to Saul. And so, God, of course, warns David that the inhabitants of Keilah would deliver David into Saul's hands, so David escapes. He leaves Keilah. He heads into the wilderness of Ziph. That's also in the southern part of Judah. But again, hiding out from Saul. Saul finds out that David and his men had left Keilah, so he doesn't bother going on down to Keilah. And so David and his men escape into the wilderness of Ziph. But notice in verse 14, and David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph, and Saul sought him every day. Saul was obsessed with this idea of killing David. I mean, he's the king. You'd think he'd have some rather important things to deal with, but every day he's so obsessed that he's seeking to kill David as David and his men hide out in Ziph. The odds are certainly against David. Saul has the army of Israel behind him. The people of Keilah have proven that David can't really count on the children of Israel to protect him and to help him out. They're going to side with their king Saul. And so David and his men escape to the wilderness of Ziph. Saul seeks him out every day to kill him. And humanly speaking, the odds were against David. Saul had the army of Israel on his side, and the inhabitants of Keilah proved that the people of Israel would deliver David up to Saul. He couldn't count on his own people to help him. The odds, humanly speaking, are against him. What's he going to do? What can he do? What's left for him to do? But God. Makes all the difference in the world. The odds were totally against him, humanly speaking. But in contrast to what man wanted to do, Saul wanted to kill him, the inhabitants of Keilah wanted to deliver him into Saul's hands, the children of Israel were not siding with David. What else could he do? But God delivered him not into his hand. That truth stuck with David throughout his life. The but God truth. And as long as we have a confidence in this but God truth, we do not have to fear what man will do unto us. Because God is in contrast to man. What man wants, man's sin, man's desires, man's will is in contrast to but God. Will we trust in that but God truth? Saul wanted to kill him. The inhabitants of Keilah wanted to deliver him up into his hand, but God delivered him not into the hands of Saul. You know, it's very interesting. In chapter 24 of 1 Samuel, after this incident, as David and his men continue to hide out in the wilderness of Ziph, and they end up in a place called En-Gedi. And in Gedi, there's a lot of caves. And David, one day, and you know this story, finds King Saul in one of those caves sleeping. David could have killed King Saul. In fact, David's men said to David, "David, God has delivered him into your hands. Take advantage of it." David couldn't do it. Saul was trying to kill him, and you could make the argument that in self-defense it would have been fine for David to take Saul's life at that time. That, you know, you can understand David's men saying, "Hey, God's delivered him into your hands," but David would not do it. Saul was the king. He was the Lord's anointed, and David would not take the life of the Lord's anointed. He did cut off a little bit of Saul's clothing to prove that he could have killed Saul, and then he proved to Saul that he could have killed him. But God delivered Saul into David's hands, but David could not kill him. Why? Because David trusted in this "but God" truth. Yes, Saul's trying to kill me. Yes, I could now defend myself and kill him, but I'm going to trust in God instead. I'm going to trust, "but God delivered him not into Saul's hands." And he trusted in this "but God" truth. So God delivered Saul into David's hand, but rather than kill Saul, David trusted in this "but God" truth. Earlier we read from Psalm 23, and I'd ask you to turn to Psalm 3. Psalm 3 is what we read earlier. Would you turn with me to Psalm 3? If you're using one of those chair Bibles, it's page 618. This third psalm is a psalm of David. And as we read that third psalm earlier, this word Selah shows up three times. What's this word Selah? Now, some of your translations may not have that word there. They just kind of taken it out. It is part of the original Hebrew, that word Selah. The psalms were meant to be sung. And this word Selah appears to be kind of a musical rest, if you will. A change of mood in the music, perhaps, or maybe even a change of instrumentality through that song. But it really was meant to get your attention, to pay attention to what's being said, and to maybe even think about what you've just sung as you then go on to the next part of the song. And so three times this word Selah is used in Psalm 3. Notice the title of the psalm, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Now that title, that's not something that was added by our translators. That title was part of the original Hebrew as well. So we know that this psalm was written by David when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. His son Absalom also wanted to kill him. David is now king, has been king for many years, but his son Absalom wants to be king. And so his son Absalom wants to kill David so that he can become king. And Absalom has many of Israel's army with him. They have turned against King David. And so much of the army has now been loyal to Absalom. Absalom wants to kill David, and that's when David writes this psalm. Those three Selahs, I think, kind of breaks this psalm into three sections. Verses 1 and 2, notice verse 2 ends with the word Selah. Verses 1 and 2 is the Selah of trouble. And then verse 4 ends with Selah. So verses 3 and 4 are the Selah of faith. And then verse 8 ends with the word Selah. Verses 5 through 8 is the Selah of peace. Selah of trouble, Selah of faith, Selah of peace. In our times of trouble, we need faith. And with faith, we have peace. Notice, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there are who say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah." So it's written by David when his own son Absalom wanted to kill him. And certainly, as we read those first two verses, do you sense David's anguish. Can you imagine your own son wanting to kill you? And the army that has been loyal to you, many of them have deserted you and are now on Absalom's side. And he cries out, he feels like everyone's against him. Many are they that rise up against me. And not only that, but those who have risen up against him, they have mocked his faith. Not even his God's going to help him. That's what David is experiencing in this Selah of trouble. He expresses his feelings that many were out to get him as they mocked his faith. Not even God will help him. Not even God will deliver him. Not even God will save him. But then we come to his Selah of faith. But thou, O Lord. Not exactly a but God in our words, but it's really but God. Everyone's out to get me. My own son's trying to kill me. Again, Saul was trying to kill him. But he wouldn't kill Saul because Saul was the Lord's anointed. Absalom now wants to kill him, but he can't kill his own son in self-defense. What's left? But God. The Selah of faith. David did not want to kill Saul, the Lord's anointed, and he certainly did not want to kill his own son. The only thing left, but God. But God is my shield, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of the holy hill, Selah. But God. But God is my shield, he says. God is my protector. He's the one that will protect me as it seems everyone's against me. My own son wants to kill me. But God is my shield. God will protect. But God is my glory. I believe what he's saying is he's the one in whom I glory. I glory in his sovereign control. I glory in his majesty. He's the one that is going to save me in my trouble. He's the one in whom I glory. He's the one who is going to lift up my head. The one who lifts me up from my dejection, my despondency. He's the one that's going to encourage me. He's the one that's going to give me confidence. I'm going to glory in him, his sovereign control, in the glaring light of his glory. Our trials seem less trying. In the glaring light of his sovereignty, our troubles seem less troublesome. And he can lift up our head out of our trouble, out of our despondency, out of our dejection. He's my shield, my glory, the lifter up of my head. And then in verse 4, he's the one who hears and answers our prayers, the one who hears my cry, the one who does help, regardless of what my enemies may say. The enemies were crying out, not even God will help them. And David says, but God does hear my cry, and he will help, he will strengthen, he will protect, he will deliver. There's no help from his God, his enemies cry out, but God does hear my cry. But God is my shield and my protector. But God is the one in whom I glory as he is the sovereign God. He is the one who will lift my head up from my despondency and give me confidence and give me courage. He's the one who hears my cry. Though no one else cares, he hears my cry. With that kind of faith, we come to this Selah of peace. I lay down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Everyone's against me. My own son wants to kill me. They're mocking my faith. But God is my shield, my glory, the lifter up of my head, the one who hears my prayers. I'm going to go to sleep. That's faith. That's peace. That's trusting in this but God truth. But God. He slept with confidence that God would sustain him. Because of his faith in this but God truth, he is able to sleep with confidence. Notice verse 6, I'll not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. He says, I'm not going to be afraid of people. Even if there's 10,000s of them against me, I'm not going to fear. But God is my shield, my glory, the lifter up of my head, the one who hears my cries. In verse 7, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. He has confidence as he cries out to God. And he recognizes that God will indeed save him. His enemies said, God won't save him. God won't help him. But God will save me. God will help. And then verse 8, salvation belongs unto the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Now, when we read that, we often our thoughts go to spiritual salvation, salvation through faith in Christ from our sin and from death. And certainly that's true. Salvation spiritually is indeed belonging to God. He alone can save. But that's really not what David's talking about here. He's talking about deliverance from Absalom. That deliverance belongs to God. Doesn't matter if there's tens of thousands of people against me. Doesn't matter if Absalom has the army of Israel behind him. That doesn't matter, because deliverance belongs to God. He's going to trust in his deliverance. In fact, in verse 2 it says there's no help from him in God. Your translation may use the word salvation or deliverance. And then in verse 8, salvation belongs unto the Lord. It's the same Hebrew word. The enemies were crying out, his God will not deliver him. And David responds, deliverance belongs to God. I'll trust in him. And so we come to an application. How does this apply to us today? You know, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days, dangerous times will come. I think most of us would agree that this world is a dangerous place. Seems to be getting more and more dangerous all the time, does it not? God warned us it would. It shouldn't come as a surprise to us. We live in a dangerous world. We have the Russia-Ukrainian war going on with the threat of nuclear weapons being used. We have the China-Taiwan conflict. And the disagreements there, we have rogue nations, North Korea and Iran. It's a dangerous world from that sense. We have currently a deadly virus. We've gone through a pandemic, and it's a dangerous world. Economic chaos seems to be all over the world right now. It's a dangerous world. Our religious freedoms seem to be on the verge of being taken away from us more readily than in the past. The cultural wars in our own nation seem to be reaching a feverish pitch. It's a dangerous world. In that dangerous world, what are your thoughts? Are you fearful? Are you anxious? Or can you be a David? And can you look at this but God truth? But God delivered him not into his hand. But God is my shield, my glory, the lifter up of my head, the one who hears and answers my prayers. David found great peace in this but God truth, though his life was in danger. We live in a dangerous world. Can you have faith in that
but God truth. Do you have a Saul or an Absalom in your life? Someone that's just out to get you. Sometimes there are those people. They, for whatever reason, they don't like us. For whatever reason, they would do harm if they could to us. Do you have someone in your life that's a Saul or an Absalom, and you just feel that they're out to get you? They just feel like they would just take advantage of you at any opportunity. They just want to hurt you. Can you have faith, but God delivered them not into his hand? Or maybe your Saul or your Absalom is not a who, but a what. Some trial, some challenge that you may be facing this morning. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a family issue. Maybe it's an economic issue. Maybe it's a job issue. I don't know what trial or challenge you may be facing. What is your Saul or Absalom this morning that's just causing anxiety and worry and fear? Can I encourage you this morning? Those circumstances, those trials that you're facing, that individual that you're facing, it's all in contrast to God. But God. Don't leave God out of the picture. In fact, he is the big picture. But God. But God is my shield. But God is the one in whom I will glory because of his sovereignty and his majesty. But God is the lifter up of my head. He can give me confidence and encouragement in this situation that I'm facing. He hears my cry. Even if my enemies say my God will not help, salvation, help, deliverance belongs to him and to him alone. It's not dependent upon my strength. It's not dependent upon human strength. Salvation, deliverance, help belongs to God and to him alone. Can you find peace in that faith in the but God? Will you put your trust in the truth, but God is my shield, the sovereign one in whom I glory, the lifter up of my head, the one who hears my prayers? But God delivered him not into his hand. Can we learn from David this morning? Saul wanted to kill him. Absalom wanted to kill him. David went to sleep. He had confidence in this but God truth. Though man wanted to kill him, God was in contrast to man's desires, man's will, but God delivered him not into his hand. Is that your faith this morning? I challenge you this morning to seek God. Recognize that he is your shield. He is your glory. He's the lifter up of your head. He indeed hears your cries. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we're so grateful this morning for these truths that you have recorded for us in your word. Thank you for the example of David, and I pray, Father, that we would be as David in our faith. Certainly, David faced trouble, but in the glaring light of your glory, his trouble was less troublesome. In the glaring light of your glory, his trial was less trying. He had such confidence in you that he was able to just leave it in your hands and know that you would sustain him. Indeed, deliverance, help, belongs to you and to you alone. Doesn't belong to man. Doesn't belong to man's strength, man's wisdom, man's wish, man's desire, man's will. It belongs to you and to you alone. You are in contrast to man, and we can trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. certainly don't want to make light of any trial or challenge you may be facing today. It can be serious. It can be very troubling. We just want to encourage you about God. And if you would like to talk to us, if that struggle, that challenge is becoming overwhelming, we understand. We'd love to sit down with you and help you through that time. We are here for that reason, to bring glory to God as we work through those challenging times together. Shall we stand? Thank you again, Father, for this hour together. We pray that we'd walk out of here just continuing to meditate upon this but God truth. We thank you that you are indeed in contrast to man. We thank you that deliverance, salvation, belongs to you and to you alone. Guide us now in our Sunday school hour to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. May God bless you.